Wilson got there was because they built the whole team and then got him at the end.
Yep.
Eat that banana slowly.
No.
Every time you bite that banana on camera, you gotta say pause.
Why? Because I'm worried about my potassium levels? Freestyle Friday. Because y'all started out as teenagers, right?
Yeah, I was 19. Yeah. She was 17 when we had our son. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, like, real, real kind of young kids. Again, just the blind leading the blind. Kids raising kids. Babies raising babies type stuff. And so it took me a long time to kind of understand that concept, man. It was just like, I love you, but, like, at the same time, you don't love yourself, and now you're making it my problem. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, you're still dealing with some of your childhood things like that, and you're kind of almost putting that on me. And like we're staying together under the guise that we love.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like you know what love is?
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you've never felt that.
Right.
So you don't actually know what it is. You've convinced yourself. Our brain is cognitive bias.
Mm-hmm.
Our brain has a funny way of tricking us into convincing us that this is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it is what it is, so it isn't anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's just like, it is one of them situations where it's like, you have to recognize, is this actually love? And if it's not, then it's not. Stop trying to force it. You get what I'm saying? Like, a good tenet of a relationship that I picked up from my parents and my family was, it has to be rooted, a relationship can't just be based on love.
Right.
Love is a drug.
Mm-hmm. You know,
we talked about that. It is easy to supply and demand. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So that's why we have a lot of these situations out here where people are in love.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a supply and demand sort of situation. And so, like, it got to a point for me where I was just like, all right, let me take a step back. What are we missing in this? We're missing trust.
Mm-hmm.
We're missing respect. We're missing empathy. We're missing, you know, being able to communicate. These are all tenets that you have to be in a relationship with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are incapable of providing any of those, stay single. You get what I'm saying? You are doing a disservice out here to other people. You are hurting people
mm-hmm.
out here if you're not able to provide those things.
Which is why I stayed single for so long.
I mean, for sure. But like, my thing though too is it's like everyone's got a person out here, man. It's just about understanding that and not trying to force things.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because it's very easy for us to overlook the red flags because of one thing. And that's what people got to stop doing to themselves. Because you're not doing yourself a service by doing that. You get what I'm saying? You're not necessarily doing, and I'm all about keeping the family together if you are actually on that level with your person.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not,
let everybody go. Let people be free.
It's a lesson. Exactly. Let them go.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me a long time to really kind of embrace that concept. And I was placing so much of my validation on what this one person thought of me.
Mm-hmm.
Not realizing I'm a dope person. Mm-hmm. There's somebody out here that's going to like me for who I am.
Right.
Going to love me for who I am.
Right.
And if it's not you, that's okay. And I promise you, there's going to be someone that's going to love you too. But my thing is, like, a lot of these people are out here seeking out the same relationships that they grew up around.
Mm-hmm.
And they're wondering why they're unhappy. They're wondering why they're miserable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, take a step back. Look at your childhood objectively. Like, it was in your face the whole time.
Yeah.
But you didn't, you know what I mean? Because you were under the guise, under the love spell, the illusion of what you thought love was, because mm-hmm. that's what it was taught to you.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I'm never going to hold anyone, I'm never going to resent anyone for being ignorant. And
mm-hmm.
I say ignorant, and that has like a negative connotation. It's just,
all it
means is you don't know something.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? You're lacking some knowledge. And so like, you can't necessarily be mad at somebody if they're not on that level and they haven't done that healing and they haven't taken that time to do that introspection
mm-hmm.
and they can look at themselves and really be comfortable with who they see. You know what I mean? Like if I can, my next relationship, I mark my words, my next relationship I get into, man, it's going to be with somebody that is secure with themselves,
mm-hmm.
that knows what time it is, that I'm not going to have to sit here and cater to them and remind them that they're beautiful every single day. I'm going to tell you you're beautiful because I do want to tell you that. But when it becomes a situation where I have to tell you that for you to feel better about yourself,
mm-hmm.
now we're creating a weird dynamic. Now we're creating a codependent situation. And that's what me and my missus had.
Mm-hmm.
It was a codependent situation. I was constantly trying to big up you because you felt down about yourself. And that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? But, like, you need to become secure with yourself because I'm not able to do that every day. I got my own shit.
Mm-hmm.
I've got my own stuff I got to do.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I can't be constantly in that state of making sure you're good. I got to make sure I'm good so
right.
I can make sure everyone around me is, you get what I'm saying? Like, I can't pour into the cups. And so, like, there's this concept of, like you know, you can't pour from an empty cup, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what if you're trying to pour into a cup that's got holes in it?
Yep.
So you're going to pour into that cup.
You're going to lose.
It's gonna spill out. And eventually you're going to run out of stuff to pour. And that cup that you were pouring into is empty.
It's still empty.
So, like, what, you get what I'm saying? So
yeah.
I was like, yo, I got to be real, real careful about who I'm pouring into. I got to be real careful about who I'm pouring into. Not because, like, I'm God's given, you know, gift or anything like that, but because, like, I understand that aspect of it. You know what I mean? I understand that if I'm going to pour into your cup, you got to be able to pour into my cup. Because sometimes my cup's going to run a little dry. So if I'm constantly the one that's having to pour into everyone's cup, who the hell's pouring into my cup? And then you're going to get mad when I don't have it in me?
Right.
You tap me out.
You're mad because I'm drained.
It's a finite resource.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It can be infinite if you find that person that you can rock with. You get what I'm saying? That best friend, that person that you can really be on that level with. Because they get it. They understand you.
Yeah.
But if they don't understand themselves, how the hell are they going to understand you? If they don't love themselves, how the hell are they going to love you?
Yeah.
And that's what people need to understand out here, man, about this whole love game. Is you got to love yourself first and foremost. And only at that point, only once you know how to love yourself, can you love other people.
Yeah. That is my...
You're pretending. Acting. All
still cannot go look in them. Yeah.
Oscars, baby. All of them do.
Drake.
They really do.
Huh? Yeah.
Because it's just like, and I just think about it. And I'm like, how much does that take out of y'all? To wake up and do that and put on a front every single day to convince yourself that you're happy and then holding everybody else accountable for why you're unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
It's the craziest shit to me, bro. Like,
I did that in Atlanta for a little while.
Loosely. I don't like using the word crazy, but that is wild shit to me. You're doing the same thing over and over and over again that your parents did, that their parents did.
Mm-hmm.
You expected a different result?
Yeah.
What? Who are you? Who do you think you are?
I did that in Atlanta for a little while, but it was kind of opposite. It was I accomplished a lot in South Carolina before I moved to Atlanta.
Right.
So as I moved to Atlanta, I'm not thinking that everybody in Atlanta wants to be a rapper. Everybody in Atlanta pretends to have money and stuff like that. So if I come off with the truth, because I'm in Atlanta and I'm like, it's kind of like that guy that has a girlfriend at a different high school.
Okay.
In high school, everybody's like, he ain't got no girlfriend.
Right.
So I'm up there like, hey, yeah, I have a record label. I done came out with 3 albums. Right. I done sold 40,000 albums, blah, 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 blah. So I'm talking to people about this stuff. Being blunt, somebody asked me about what kind of money I make, whatever like that. I'm telling them. Because I've always been from, if you let people know that it's out there and they want to go get it, they can go get it too. You know what I'm saying? But I learned because of where I was and how people are in that place, it just comes out as lies.
Right.
Because even though I could prove it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
yes.
So,
yes.
Then I'm working backwards. So what I had to do was the opposite of that. I'm acting, but I'm acting like I don't have that kind of stuff.
Right.
Like, I'm a beginner in this stuff just like everybody else. You know what I'm saying? But I'm in my late 20s. But, yeah, I'm a beginner in this stuff just like everybody else. You know what I'm saying? So I'm really an IT person.
Right.
And I just do music on the side because I like doing music.
Period.
Not because I had a whole career doing music, but just because I like doing music. So I did that. But it was because I had to downplay everything about myself because I was new to a whole community.
Yeah.
And it was like I'm a Rough Rider now. Like, at the time of being a Rough Rider in Atlanta, I was like, as I'm prospecting to become a Rough Rider, none of them knew that I rap.
Right.
None of them knew anything about the music and stuff because I wanted them to respect me as a biker first.
Period.
And then I ended up getting married and all this stuff, coming back to South Carolina before anything else. And I don't think I came out with a song publicly since. But, yeah, I had to do the opposite of that. Like, lie to conceal myself so that I don't seem like I'm coming off as a liar. You know what I'm saying?
I've had to do that too, actually.
Yeah.
I totally resonate where you're coming from on that, because what happens is, I don't know if people have seen the movie Coach Carter, but there's a
Mr. Connor.
That's a dope movie. I played basketball growing up, never was really good at it. You know, mm-hmm. I coached my son's basketball teams. He's in basketball right now. That boy's 5'6 and a half, 140 pounds, 12 years old.
At 12?
Bro, he's a big boy.
Damn.
He's getting big, too. That's one thing I prayed for, man. I just like, make sure he got my last name, and he's 6 foot. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? 6 foot tall. So he's on pace for it. But, like, in Coach Carter, man, there's a scene in that movie where the kids... they put a lock on the gym. Coach Carter was just like, y'all don't respect how I do things, mm-hmm. so I'm going to lock the gym, essentially. Lock them out until the kids get their grades up.
Because, mm-hmm.
again, student-athletes first. Student comes first.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that they did in there, he would ask this character in there named Timo Cruz, what's your deepest fear, you man? And he's asked him that a couple times throughout the movie. And by the end of it, you know, they're sitting there talking to Coach Carter. He walks into the gym, and they got all these desks stacked up next to each other and everything. Mm-hmm. Like that, and they're all just doing work. He's like, sir, they can close, you know, they can take the lock off the chain or the chain off the gym, but we're not going to play until, you know, we've accomplished the mission,
right.
essentially. You know, we're going to do this. So pretty much, coach, can you leave us be? We got shit to do is what Warren mm-hmm. says. And so Timo Cruz stands up, though, as Coach Carter's walking out, and he finally has a response to the question. And it's a beautiful, beautiful monologue. Everyone needs to go check it out, honestly. Just type in Timo Cruz monologue, Coach Carter,
mm-hmm. on YouTube.
But he goes in there and he's just, it's not, it pretty much, I'll try to give you the summary of it, but essentially it's just the idea of dimming your light so that other people around you don't feel uncomfortable.
Right.
And there's a problem with that, though, is because, like you said, you were having to go back. You were having to downplay yourself so that you felt accepted by other people.
Right.
Not realizing that's your power.
Mm-hmm.
We're not scared of our darkness. We're scared of our light.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're scared of. Everybody can be on the different tips. It's just a matter of choice.
Right.
But a lot of people feel like they have to backtrack or downplay their accomplishments or downplay who they are, dim their light,
mm-hmm.
so that people around them don't feel uncomfortable. And it's just like, that has been something that has resonated with me. I get goosebumps every single time I see that, because that's so true.
Mm-hmm.
You're dimming your light so that other people feel comfortable. But what you don't realize is by doing that, you're allowing everyone to stay comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Make people uncomfortable so that they can let their light shine.
Right.
So that they don't feel like they have to dim their light anymore. You get what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
When you walk in power, people feel that shit.
Mm-hmm.
People know that shit. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
They can sense it. And then it empowers them. Subconsciously, whether it's consciously, your ego's like, man, fuck that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Who the fuck this dude think he is? Man, fuck you, bro. Like,
yeah.
Let me see what you got. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, let me see your list of shit. And it's just like, bro, like, no, like, I'm just being me. I want the same for you.
Right.
I don't have any resentment in me towards you. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You can have all that hatred towards me, but I'm just coming from a place of love.
Right.
I love myself, and I love you, and I want you to feel that way, too. I want you to love yourself. So best believe, I'm done dimming my light.
Oh, yeah, I was done.
You know what
yeah.
I'm saying? I'm yeah. bored with that shit, bro. Like, I'm done making people feel like they got to make me feel smaller so that they can feel big.
Right.
Fuck that. Like, either you rock with me or you don't.
Right.
You know what time it is or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't have time to be wasting with people that are caught up in that same shit. Not saying that I'm better than you, not by any means, man. Not by any mm-hmm. means. I'm human just like you. But understand that, like, we're put on this planet, bro, not to live in fear.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? We're supposed to be walking in power.
Mm-hmm.
We're walking in fear. And that bothers me. And I'm not, you know what I mean? That's what bothers me. So, like, I'm not going to downplay myself to make you feel better.
Right.
Period. Fuck that.
Yeah.
Get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I learned that too. I learned that a while ago.
Again, like you said earlier, give me a couple hours. Let me go mm-hmm. process it.
Let me go process it. I'll be back. Yeah.
Like, why do I not feel myself? What can I do? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
To get on that level. You know what I mean? And instead of reaching out to this person and being like, yo, like, what are you doing? Like, how are you, you know what I mean? How are you doing this? And coming at it from a place of, like, genuine trying to fix yourself,
right?
Like, they'd rather try to steal it. They want to try to mimic you because that's what they think
mm-hmm.
works. You get what I'm saying? So it's like, you feel like you got to downplay yourself and hide yourself so that they don't steal that energy. And it's
right.
just like, it's not about stealing. It's just like, yo, interact with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you watching me, but, like, you're not interacting with
right.
me. you want to talk to me, and we can chop it up. We can mm-hmm. figure out how to do this, and you can figure out what works for you. I can tell you what worked for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to work for everybody.
Right.
Oh, one size fits all. It don't work for everybody. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? A public education system is a perfect example of this. And it's one of my biggest fucking gripes with the public education system is that we continuously dim our kids' lights.
Oh, yeah.
We kill the arts. We kill the creativity. And what we don't understand is that science is a beautiful thing. Technology is a beautiful thing. Gift and a curse. So is art.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's power in it. And everyone has a purpose. Everyone has a calling. And you know it, too. You mm-hmm. feel it. You remember as a kid, if you was one of them little kids just singing your little heart out until someone mm-hmm. said, stop singing like that. You're being too damn noisy.
Oh, you sound horrible. Right.
You get what I'm saying? And so it's a lot of our blockages that we have as adults or even getting into teenagers, adults, are from when we were kids. Mm-hmm. But when mom and dad said, cut that noise off, all that banging on the drums and stuff, it's like, no, you was probably making a mm-hmm. dope-ass beat.
Yeah.
But it was disturbing their peace. And I'm all for protecting our peace, you know what I mean? But like, what does that actually mean?
Mm-hmm.
You got to allow people to flourish. You know what I mean? Are we allowing people to grow? Or are we trying to keep them contained in them?
Yeah. Allow kids to be kids when it comes to creativity.
Oh, yeah.
Allow creativity to be creative.
That's where a lot of that beautiful energy yeah. is at, you know what I mean? Is when we were kids. And so, there's I can unpack a whole other aspect of that. But, I mean, it bothers me, man, whenever people feel the need to hate on you because you feel secure about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? I hate that you had to do that while you were in yeah. Atlanta. You had to make it seem like you wasn't on that tip when it was like, no, bro, I am the shit.
Yeah.
I'm him.
Yeah.
Like, what are you saying to me? You get what yeah. I'm saying? Like, no, you got to stand on that energy. And it's going to make people uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But here's my thing. Let them feel uncomfortable. Maybe that's what they need. Maybe they need to go do, you know what I mean? Maybe they're going to do some self-reflection after that.
Yeah.
Maybe they're going to find a way to embrace their power. That's your walking karma
mm-hmm.
at that point. You get what I'm saying? You're walking karma for these people.
Yeah.
So just walk around and be karma. Let the karma happen.
Oh, I do now. I do now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Embrace who you are and don't allow anyone to take you mm-hmm. off of that tip, period. Remind yourself, you are him.
Mm-hmm.
I love you. Look in the mirror. Look in the mirror. Straight up. I'm telling everybody, whoever listens to this, man, look in the mirror and tell yourself that you love yourself every single day.
Yeah.
Straight like that. You'd be surprised what kind of reprogramming that'll do for you.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of energy you're going to be on. How you're not going to be sitting in bed, not able to get up in the morning. No, you're going to be enjoying life again.
Yeah.
You're going to go outside and you're going to see the trees dancing.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to hear the birds chirping.
Yeah.
You're going to feel it. You get what I'm saying?
You smile more.
Exactly.
You sleep better.
You're going to be happier, bro. and like, that's what this is about, man. Life is about being happy. It's
yeah.
not about being scared. And that's what I'm saying, man. That's what it is for a lot of people is they're so damn unhappy because they're scared.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying it's their fault, but it gets to a point where you do have to take responsibility for your life.
Yeah.
You can't sit here and blame your parents for everything.
Mm-hmm.
You can't sit here and make, you get what I'm saying? Like, you have the ability, every one of us out here, man, has these generational curses, and it comes in all different shapes and forms. And again, I'm not going to sit here and compare apples and oranges. Everyone's got their own traumas. Everyone's
right.
got their own shit that they got to deal with. But it's up to you to recognize that
mm-hmm.
and do something about it.
Right.
It's one thing to talk it, but you got to walk that shit, too. You got to be the change you want to see. It's something my dad told me when I was growing up.
That's why Man in the Mirror is probably my number one song ever.
Go back and listen, man. MJ was also
about to I'm going to make a change
Yeah. Like, you got to be the change you want to see in the world. You have to embody that.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, my dad would say stuff like, you know, do as I say, not as I do. But then he'd also, on the flip side, say, you know, practice what you preach.
Mm-hmm.
He's telling me these things. This is just words, pops.
Yeah.
Be on your shit. Like, you get what I'm saying? How you going to teach me and then not walk that path and then make it just on me?
Yeah.
That's crazy. And then you're going to wonder why I'm struggling to do it.
Yeah.
You're going to make it seem like it's me that's the problem. Like, no, you false prophet.
Yeah.
You a false prophet, bro. Like, you wasn't practicing what you was preaching, period.
For example is when, my daughter walked into a room, and I was smoking a Black & Mild, right? Black & Milds, I used to smoke Black & Milds all the time. You know that.
Yeah.
She was like, Daddy, what you doing? Smoking a Black & Mild. She said, is that good? Can I smoke a Black & Mild? Nah, you can't smoke. But you're smoking. Why can't I smoke? I was like, well, I'm done smoking. I haven't smoked since, not Black & Mild. Now, I've always told my kids that I'm very much on freedom. I don't care. sets, drugs, all that stuff. When you are a certain age, it's your freedom to do the things. The only reason why, like, I've talked to all my kids that are, once they get about teenage years, hey, because I know what's out there. Kids are now in school smoking weed through vapes, drinking in the bathrooms. So, and I didn't even know that. Kids was doing that when I was a kid, too. I just wasn't the cool one that was in the bathroom drinking with them because I was in class learning. I wasn't, yeah, I wasn't cool in there with them. But knowing that that stuff is out there, I want my kids, when it comes to drugs and all that stuff, leave it alone during your teenage years. And the reason being is because you are at the age, in your teenage years, everything that you're doing, when you become 30, 40, 50 years old, your favorite music is going to be the music that you heard when you was a teenager. Your habits, your forever habits are formed in your teenage years. So if you start doing drugs, if you start smoking cigarettes, if you start drinking at that age, it's going to be hard as fuck to quit. Now, I didn't smoke. Yeah. I didn't start that stuff till I was later in life, except for drinking. I started drinking really heavy when I was 20. Yeah. But then when I turned 21 and it became legal, it wasn't fun anymore. Right. So it was just the whole thing of, I'm finally doing something illegal. You know what I'm saying? I was rebelling, and alcohol was one way I rebelled. Yeah. So the day I turned 21, the day I turned 21, I went and bought some Hypnotic and Hennessy and made Incredible Hope. It was two big bottles of Hypnotic, one bottle of Hennessy. Yeah. I drunk the Hennessy and Hypnotic one by one. We're talking about half gallons of each. And then when the Hennessy got back down to half, I was done with one of the Hypnotic bottles. I took the other Hypnotic bottle and poured it in there to turn it into the Incredible Hope, shook it up. Finished the rest of the Hypnotic off and just drunk that whole thing. I was passed out on the NES. You know what the NES is, right? Navy Exchange. Mm-hmm. I was passed out on the Navy Exchange bench at like 3 o'clock in the morning on the Navy, like across the street from a Navy base in Virginia. I woke up that morning and I didn't drink for like 2 years because it was a rock bottom moment. It wasn't a rock bottom moment. It was just illegal now. It wasn't fun. It just wasn't fun. Yeah. So, and then I started becoming a casual drinker, right? But I say all that because I wasn't smoking and drinking at 14, 15, 16 years old. My friends that have been smoking and drinking since they was teenagers, they still smoke and drink.
Yep.
Matter of fact, I don't know too many people that started doing that stuff as teenagers that, unless they're dead,
right,
or unless they went to jail for a long time,
right,
is not doing it anymore.
Oh,
so it takes a big intervention, and that's what I was telling my kids. Like, I don't mind you doing anything. My kids could be, and y'all might think I'm a bad parent for saying this. My kids could be on a strip. My girls could be on strip poles, splitting in half, making money bounce off of it, blowing a torch out their pussies to light a candle or something like that. Like, if it's their choice, if they're doing it because that's what they want to do, I'm cool with it. Now, so I'm not going to go watch them.
Right.
Like, I need to know what night you're working, so I don't go in the strip club and watch it. You know what I'm saying? However, if it's your choice, whatever.
Right.
If you feel like you're forced in the corner, you have to do this because of the choices that you made in life, that's where it's bad for me at. Like, I'm all about the freedom of choice. Sex workers is a beautiful thing. Like, we will always need those around. Because even in America, well, Japan, not Japan, Asian countries is what I say. They found out that if they just have a small population of the country, that when soldiers and sailors come to their country, they could go rent out. It stops the rape of those countries and their sailors and their soldiers from raping the rest of their community. So they sacrifice, or they let a certain small set of the women go rent themselves to men. You know what I'm saying? So it saves the rest of the population. So I feel like, yeah. Yeah. So any way that you're going to make your money, any way that you're going to make your living, as long as you are comfortable with that, as long as it's your choices, then I'm okay with it. I can't say I'm going to love it, but I'm not going to love you
any less.
I'm not going to love you anymore. It's going to be the same thing as if you were a administrative assistant for a Fortune 500 company. Like, it's a different job, but I'm not going to love you any less because you do that. I'm not going to love you anymore because you do that. Because it's your choice. And my goal for my kids is to always, no matter what, it is your choice whenever you make you whatever you start doing life, you're doing it because it's your choice. You want to. Period. Not because you have to.
Period.
So
wants versus needs.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So I talk to my kids about minimalistic like living.
Yeah.
Even if you grow up and be famous, if you make $100 million, right? You could get caught up in all that if you want to.
Yeah.
But when it comes down to it, the only thing you need is air, water, and nutrition. You need walls around you and a roof to sleep under. You can make $100 million and live just like I live right now. Or you can make $100 million and go live that $100 million lifestyle where you basically are sitting in front of the property. You could go build Kardashian if you want to, but you don't have to. You could make that same money and be living right here on this little compound that I done made for us. You know what I'm saying? Right. So, it's what do what you want to do,
right.
But make sure you want to do it.
Exactly.
Don't follow up behind people.
I mean, and for me, when it comes to that, it's like make sure you're doing what you need to do first, then you can do what you want.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Like, it's funny you mentioned that. Like, so I always go back to this episode of MTV Cribs, where it was.
I guess we're taking a commercial break, and we are back. All right, I'm here with DJ. We're going to start where we left off before I was rudely interrupted by my phone ringing, my flip phone ringing. But we was talking about basically sex work, right?
What's the needs and just, you know, some of the practices over in Japan, how they try to use sex work is essentially to keep, you know, the sailors from necessarily, you know, imposing on the community.
Right.
Which I always found to be interesting, you know what I mean? Just the idea that we have military bases all over the place.
Yeah.
And that countries have to establish certain things like that to, you know, the American imperialism. If you
right.
Know, whatever we want to call it, the American empire at this point. Under the guise of defense for the whole world, you know, 100%. World police, you know, that's just the thing that we've taken on at this point.
America! But, fuck yeah!
But I think one of the things that's really kind of bothered me to some extent about society nowadays is just how intimacy has been almost minimized to some extent to be, again, transactional.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? Like, the idea of fucking and making love. You get what I'm saying? There's a difference.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? Like, and I feel like whenever we take something, and again, you know, people are probably going to bag on me for this, but it's just the idea of being, like, really kind of sacred with that sexual energy.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause it can heal. But it can also damage.
Right.
You get what I'm saying?
Right.
Talk about Marvin Gaye's sexual healing, but like we don't take into account the damage that it can cause and how lifeless it can leave somebody.
Right.
If they are consistently in those patterns. Again, J. Cole saying if you're chasing girls all the time, you're never going to be satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
So your body count might be fucking long as hell. But you get what I'm saying? Like, what has that really done for you? You got STDs.
Living proof.
But you get what I'm saying?
You said STDs after I raised my hand, though. But I'm living. Yeah, I caught two STDs twice. I caught two STDs the very first time I had sex,
right.
And then two STDs the first time I had sex with a white woman.
<That's> a, but what when it comes down to it, though, man, this isn't coming from a judgmental place at all. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? This is me just, again, when I talk about these things, I'm not judging anybody. I'm trying to understand.
We're not. We're understanding. We're learning. Yeah, and we're teaching. Yeah.
Because that's what's important, because it could be something that I'm definitely lacking. But when we kind of take something that I feel like is sacred, because you think about what sex allows for.
Mm-hmm.
It's a birth of life. Life is the most important thing. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Like life is what's God, I mean, not quote the Bible or anything, but go forth and procreate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But that doesn't mean go spread your seed everywhere.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? Like, you got to find and usher in the new era, the new earth, the newborns that are going to, you know what I mean? That they're going to break some of these curses and everything like that. And if you're just doing it out here willy-nilly, bro. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like, and we've created a situation where it's like people can benefit off, mm-hmm. off of it for sure. And they're making, you know, changes for their lives and their lifestyles are getting better. But like, we've taken something that I felt like was supposed to be sacred and really kind of turned it into something that's just like, almost just like a flex. Yeah, I got a body count. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Everyone's walking around like all these bodies. It's like, okay.
Body, yaddy, 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 yaddy.
You know what I'm saying? Like
yeah,
like, that's all instant gratification type mm-hmm. shit. You get what I'm saying? That's all living in that instant gratification mindset. You're not thinking about the repercussions of your actions. You're not thinking mm-hmm. about the consequences. You think about getting your pleasure right then and there.
Right.
And it's like, if you want that tip, like, cool, but like, understand that like not everyone is on that tip.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? I'm not here trying to just catch every single body I can. I could. You get what I'm saying? I could hop on these little fucking dating sites and shit mm-hmm. like that and go through swipe, get the swipes, smash, mm-hmm. pass, you know, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
But like, what is that doing for you?
I think I'm all for sex work. I know that's not where yeah. you was trying to go with that. I think as someone who has been there, I wouldn't say my body count out loud. I don't know what it is, but I know how high it is. I know that if I say a number, let's say that number is 500, like I could confidently say way more than that, right? And that wasn't because I was out here bragging about the shit and whatever like that. I grew up damaged, right?
Right. Oh, yeah, for sure.
I had a bunch of orgies. Like,
right.
I never would brag about it. I don't think I've ever bragged about how many people I slept with.
Gotcha.
It was, damn, these numbers going up. It was only one time in my life. And I think that everyone should go through that at least a little bit. Go out there and be a whore. Man or woman.
Yeah.
Go be a whore for a little while, because it how do you know if you're satisfied? How do you know if you like sushi if you never eaten sushi?
Fair.
Right? When it comes to sex, like when it comes to men's sex. Growing up, like when I first had sex, it was with a girl who liked girls. And then that girl started bringing girls around. So it wasn't start bringing girls around. My first time was with two girls.
Right.
Like I was having sex for 3 years before I had my first one-on-one sex yeah. experience, right? So as you know, I don't know much about your sex life, but my theory is the way that you start having sex, it's the way that you, again, in your teenage years and stuff like that, the way that you're having sex then, that's the way that your body basically gets used to having sex or wants to have sex. So people that just lay around in their teenage years because of one reason or another one, they end up being laying arounders for like their life. I can say that because I've been around those people. People that even like when a boy goes to jail and get raped, right? As a kid, like usually they like boys when they grow up. They try to hide it and stuff like that. But because that's the way they experience sex.
Right.
That's the way they're gonna always constitute that with sex.
Yeah.
And I might be wrong. I'm not a psychologist, but that's what I've been seeing. Mm-hmm. Like, I have a lot of gay friends. I have a lot of straight friends. I have a lot of female friends from back in the day. I don't communicate with them much anyway, but because of all of that, I did, my body count went high. Like, by the time I was 17, 18 years old, I had two girlfriends. And those was one-on-one. I appreciate one-on-one sets. So the way that most people, like, the theory of men who always want to have threesomes and orgies and shit like that, I've always wanted to have, like, a regular relationship with just one woman.
Nice.
But because I was so wild and because my reputation was out there, nobody took me serious. Like, it was to the point where, like, I've almost any sexual experience that is not man on man. Like, I have no sexual experience with men. I have no sexual experience with a woman putting something in me. Not like, ain't no pegging going on over here. so other than that, almost everything else I've done.
Right.
So, and it wasn't a bragging point. It was more of a, I looked, like I said, got burned on my first white girl. That was because I looked around and said, shit. The only thing I have not done, like, I was like, man, I done mess with Asian women. I done mess with black women. I done mess with Native American women. I done mess with this woman, these women. Every corner of the earth, I ain't never fucked with no European, no Caucasian, no nothing like that. Let me go do that. And then I was like, damn, well, this was one that acts black. Let me go find one that acts white, like a posh white girl. And then supermodel type white girl. And then what's actually stopped me from messing white girls is I started liking one.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, hell no. My ancestors will kill me. It was like, but yeah, so my numbers more went up just because the way I experienced sex as a teenager was with multiple people.
Right.
So I had sex with multiple people most of the time. I've been married for 10 years.
Right.
And I've never cheated on my wife. Me and my wife have I would say we have sex if there's no women things going on a regular basis. We've been married for 10 years, and I probably had more orgies still than I've had one-on-one sex in my whole life.
Right.
And that's with the singularity of 10 years. So that's why my numbers went up like that. So I always say, and it was like women would, because of my reputation out there, like, I was fine as fuck. Like, I take off my shirt. I was, shit. I'm like what women want to fuck, like, at that time.
Yeah,
I was a snack. But nobody was going to take me, period.
Yeah.
Serious.
Period.
They would, and they always like, yeah, you about to be a headache, no. And plus, like, you look like you take a lot of time out of, to make sure you look good,
right.
Which I worked out about 2 hours a day, but
yeah.
It was, I had that kind of time.
Right.
Like,
it was on that time.
Yeah.
You made time.
Yeah.
That was the key. Yeah.
So,
and
we, So yeah, I was like, that's why, like, I had women pass me to the sisters, like, mother daughters, like, twins and all that. Like, anything that men say, I want to have sex with twins, I've done it. Like, I could tell you the experience and how it went, stuff like that. But so I could tell you a lot about a lot of stuff, but I don't want it to sound like I'm bragging about it, because I'm really not bragging about it. I brag about me being with one woman for 10 years and nobody thought I could do it.
I'm focused on that finish line, developing a strong mind. Years ago, they stopped making my kind. Yeah, I lose sleep, but it's alright, cause I'm on the grind.